jasmine, oolong, green, and white. Long ago, these four teas were skillfully brewed at the Blissful Brew. Then, everything changed when the shop's popularity threatened its existence. All Mr. Ocaron, the shop's owner and tea master, could do was to recruit four teenage orphans to learn his trade and staff his shop. A year has passed since the orphans were hired, and although their skills have progressed, they still have a lot to learn before they can brew anything. But I believe that they have the potential to make the Blissful Brew the greatest tea shop in the world. Last time on Benders and Brews, an Avatar Legends podcast.
The four of you are standing at the foot of a abandoned Air Nation temple.
Well, hello. My name is Guru Tapik.
Is it haunted?
Is it?
No, I guess it is haunted. The spirit that resides here has no interest in eating your soul. The flesh on your bones will do just fine.
Now it's just me here on Mount Kenkyo. I was alone until Ocaron came to this mountain. We came to be good friends. He was fearful that something might happen to him. He asked me if I would be kind enough to help the children who he would send here to direct them to the clue he had left for all of you.
So he had made use of some of the temple's inner features to create a series of five trials.
The first trial sits inside a cavern room above a deposit of lava that flows beneath the rocks, but it leaves the stones on the pathway across hot to the touch.
I'm gonna try to extend that bridge.
Okay. You grab onto the edge of this and you basically pull the ground out from its connection to the wall, and you extend it ever so slightly to a point where everybody could cross. If you guys move into the next room, there's sort of just a doorway at the end of this bridge. The warmth from before, which was a very dry heat, is quickly replaced by a very humid heat. Features what seems to be a massive, fuzzy balloon that's just stuffed in the doorway that would lead into the next room.
I shall attempt to Bugs Bunny.
Yes, you're able to create an opening and basically create a sort of secondary tunnel that goes around the balloon.
Puzzle number three.
You guys would step out of the doorway into a massive cavern with a humongous drop off of a divide that spans hundreds of feet in every direction.
Okay, I'm gonna run back in the other room. Can I get the water particles and just like push the balloon?
When you put the cold air up to it, you notice just the very slightest deflation.
It's like helium, bro!
Oh, you did it! You got the balloon out!
Okay, it's gonna be like the blob at summer camp. I'm gonna put a rock on one end, and then I'm gonna jump onto the other end, see if I can't launch this bad boy all the way across the other side.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 4 of Benders and Brews Season Trace. That's 3 if you don't speak Spanish. Jumping right in, just a really quick shout out to our awesome friends RobZor86, who left us an awesome 5-star review, alongside some other people who left us 5-star reviews, but they didn't say anything, which is cool. That's totally fine, totally acceptable, but I just wanted to highlight RobZor86, who said, "Great podcast, great show to listen to." Lots of exclamation marks in there. Love it. So just want to say thank you, RobZor86, for that shout out. Whatever the case, last time you guys were making your way through the air temple, the sort of abandoned air temple where you guys met Guru Tapik, and he was leading you guys through the trials, and you guys did one where you had to try to make it across hot stones, kind of a throwback to the one-shot Bill and Brock adventure a little bit there. The second one that you guys had to do involved this giant sheepskin balloon that was kind of stuck in the doorway, keeping you guys from getting through. And then third and finally, which is where we left off at, you have this giant cavern that you're trying to get across, this just drop in the mountain below you, or whatever you want to call it. There was a rope bridge. It's been split in two, so it's just kind of hanging there limp on either side. And Mika, using some ingenuity, actually managed to go back and get the balloon out of the doorway and brought it into this room, where Brock is currently at this very moment prepping to do sort of like a double bounce situation to hopefully send him flying across the cavern.
Myself and Bill are currently flying through the air.
Which,
wait, no, didn't we do a dummy?
Oh yeah,
well, we did try a dummy. Yep, and Brock used a rock.
It's a rock that's the same size as Guo.
Yes.
Me and Bill are currently falling towards the balloon as we speak.
So the rock just about worked. But the concept was, it was more like, what was the thing? Like the pool?
It was like the blob at summer camps.
Yeah, everybody knows the blob at summer camp, that giant inflatable. And you sit on one little spot and then someone else jumps down from like
a freaking bridge.
It's like the hot dog. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's like they make lots of different versions of it. And then it like launches you and you just go like flying or whatever. And it almost worked. The rock actually almost made it to the other side before it just tumbled into the ravine below. And so, Brock, you were like, hey, let's double bounce it. That'll add a little bit more oomph and hopefully a little bit more direction, horizontal direction versus vertical. But whatever the case, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I haven't even introduced you guys so that people listening know who the heck is who. Which, if you don't know who the heck is who, you should probably go back and listen through the show. I know we say that a lot here, but it's true. But whatever the case, we also have fun facts, of course, for every one of the characters. So we'll start to my right, Dave. Dave, who are you playing?
I'm playing Guohan, the adamant earthbender. And are we doing facts?
Yeah.
Throw me your interesting fact. Guo has socks he wears on his feet, but he has a left sock and a right sock. Uh-huh. And each morning when he puts his socks on, he makes sure to put the correct sock on the correct foot.
All right.
That reminds me.
And he gets it right every single time.
That reminds me of a story of, so Beth's basketball athletic socks, they will actually have the letter L and R on the socks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll form fit them to like fit a left.
No yeah. way.
To like for your athletic foot. Socks, yeah. That's well, weird. We're putting our clothes on before a basketball game, and one of the guys on our team like, oh, dang it, I brought two different types of socks. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I brought an L sock and an R sock. And we're like, yeah, that's right. He's like, no, L stands for large, and R stands for regular. he was
there's no such thing as smalls, mediums.
He was dead serious, too.
Oh,
he brought two different, whatever.
And that dude dealt with some major foot warpage. From
one time he brought the two correct socks, mm-hmm. he was mad.
Correct, yes. I like to think that like he put them on that day and he was like, oh, and he like experienced something he'd never experienced before, which was correctly fitting socks.
I would have said who the person was, but
yeah, no, that checks out. Awesome. Well, jumping out of order because of talking.
So does Guo pin an L and R on his socks?
No, he can feel it. Maybe it's an earthbender thing.
It's similar to how Brock can grab a rock and know exactly how much it weighs. Guo can grab a sock and knows exactly which foot it goes on. All right, that's canon now. If we ever have any sock encounters, Guo's our man.
Let's not have any more feet pics.
So going a little bit out of order just because you had a whole story. Cameron.
Hey, hi.
Who are you and what's your character's interesting fact?
I'm Bill Dorr. I'm a stick bender.
Nice.
Yeah. And Bill's fun fact is he really likes sushi and like seafood stuff.
Oh,
like
really?
He really likes seafood.
Interesting.
And it
you know, he's a pirate after all.
That's true.
Well, I was a pirate for one day. But as I've said in the past, my family was avid
seamen.
Seamen.
Sailors.
Yeah. Sailors. No, they were avid beachgoers and they would go out on my parents' fishing boat a lot.
Okay.
And so because of that, Bill would go fishing a lot.
Yeah.
They would eat a lot of seafood. And his mom made fantastic sushi. And so now he's just like a big sushi lover. But there's not much sushi in the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
So Bill's kind of been deprived of sushi for a good while.
Yeah. No, that actually makes a lot of sense. You got the air nomads, which are very like non-meat. They're very vegetarian.
Which could make sushi.
That's true. Yeah, you can do vegetable sushi. You've got the Earth Nation, which really seems very like meat and potatoes.
Very earthy food.
Yeah, exactly. You have the Water Tribe, which I feel like they're kind of, not to sound rude, but it's like we're making do with what we have within our region. Because, you know, there's a very harsh region within the like kind of polar
sides of the world. Very cold, not, you know, super conducive to growth and things. And then if you look at like the Fire Nation, it's just like a whole line of islands, kind of like Hawaii or Japan. And that just makes a lot of sense that it's very seafood oriented.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, right on. I like it. I like it. Very cool. Mika or Michaela. See, your name and your character name are just too close. Throws me off.
Not sorry about it.
Three seasons in.
Fair enough. Yeah. And a few years of friendship.
I'm Michaela. I play Mika. And Mika's fun fact is that she is double jointed in her thumbs.
Whoa. That's kind of sick. Did she do anything with that? I mean, she hasn't up until now, or at least now that we haven't seen it, but
she hasn't really needed the opportunity.
Advanced water bending techniques.
Yeah. Integrate it into your movements.
Yeah.
Ah, right on. I dig it. I dig it. I hope that comes into play.
That's how she gets like the right angles in her water bending.
I'm going to find some like really disturbing like bone popping sounds that I'm going to integrate every single time you water bend as you use your double joints and your fingers just to really like irk the audience.
Oh, no. They might like it. They might be into it. Might be some weird ASMR. It's a spooky
vibe to it. I don't know. Go back and do another Halloween episode. Awesome. Fantastic. Last but not least, we've got Connor.
What's up? I'm Connor playing Broccoli, the Earthbender. His fun fact is, despite his name, he is not a fan of broccoli.
Oh.
Growing up on the cabbage farm, there's beef between them and the broccoli guys. You know, it's just an unfortunate coincidence that ended up being his name.
They got some intense rivalry between the broccoli farmers
and the cabbage farmers. Yeah, there's a beef that goes back generations. And for some reason, they named their kid Broccoli after their main competitors.
They really just were focused on Brock. They did not.
I was going to say, I feel like this could be even a funnier joke where, like, one of the neighbors, like, suggest your dad was going around looking for names for his child. And one of your neighbors was like, oh, what about Brock? That's a cool name. And then all everyone started hyping it up. And then secretly, they're like, he's going to fall for it, isn't he?
and if Brock's dad, anything like Brock.
No, he probably made a bet.
Or it was like a Romeo and Juliet situation where, like, the broccoli woman married the cabbage man and then they had a child.
And then to
mend fences, they named him Broccoli. You never know.
Or perhaps Broccoli is the proverbial Romeo in this situation, and you're going to meet a beautiful young
broccoli-based girl named Cabbage.
Cabbage.
Last name is Beige.
That's an interesting
cabbage.
And sparks will fly, romance will ensue, and then a lot of people die, and that's where it gets really depressing. But that's the Romeo and Juliet.
That's Romeo and Juliet for you.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. But hey, we'll look forward to that story further down the way. I'm Skylar. I'm your game master. Interesting fact about me, since we were on the topic of basketball, I didn't know anything about the fact that socks were different either, but I also only played basketball for like 3 days back in high school. And then I said, I hate this more than anything in the world. And so I quit.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into Dungeons and Dragons. No, I'm totally kidding. But anyway, welcome to Bitters Brew Season 3, Episode 4. All right, everybody. So, as mentioned before, you guys are currently inside the the big open cavern for the third trial. There's a giant sheepskin balloon, and on one end sits Bill. No, you're going to double jump. Oh, so you're both up on the ledge, right? Right next to each other. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, to be clear, okay, Brock is launching Bill.
No, we're the other way around. We're like linking arms and we're jumping together.
Oh, the double bounce is from both of you. I don't know
what we're launching, though.
We're launching a rock roughly the size of Gohan.
Yeah, a Gohan-shaped rock.
Like, so well, this is still practice.
Roughly right? the size, yeah, but still... exactly the weight.
Exactly the weight. Exactly. This is to check.
He even picked up Brock. He even picked up Gohan right before him. He lifted him with one hand, tossed him a couple times up in the air. You know? But yes.
Yes, this is good weight. Good weight.
Okay, so we've got the basic moves here. Helping is an option. So I'm going to say that one of you is going to make a... probably a push your luck, because this really doesn't feel like rely on your skills and training. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have high doubts that you guys have ever tried something quite like this before.
You me.
And so I'm going to say push your luck, but the other person can try to help, or you can help. All you have to do is mark fatigue, and it adds +1 to their roll. So, I mean, again, you guys decide if you want to do a help. It's up to you, but if you do, tell me who's doing the help and who's going to roll push your luck.
Okay, so I should probably push my luck.
All right, so you're helping, you mark a fatigue, and I mean, you're like literally helping. You and Brock are both jumping. Yeah. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If you guys succeed at this, because you can, as we've established canonically, you can tell the weight and things of rocks.
Yes.
If you succeed at this, I won't make you re-roll or do anything for when you bounce Guo.
Hooray!
Okay, we get to, I rolled, so.
Okay.
11.
11 plus one, or is that
that's I got one? A 9, so +2 is 11, plus his 1 is 12.
Holy cow, that's a perfect 12. All right. So, it's set.
Hooray!
Holy cow, why can't I read
it? Huzzah! Excelsior!
There it is.
On a 10 plus, your boldness pays off despite the cost. All right, so not only do you succeed, but you get a lucky opportunity. To clarify, I'm going to have the lucky opportunity that you can do this again and Yay. Recreate it. So,
sick.
You guys bounce off of this ledge and drop this rock at the same time, kind of as you're coming down. You guys all, with the rock, hit the balloon at the same time, causing this amazing double bounce scenario that launches the rock plenty well across the entire cavern. Guru Tapik watches in awe, his mouth gaping in incredulity as this rock makes it to the other end and comes to a soft roll just before hitting the cave wall on the other side.
Well, ready for the real thing, Guo?
Tally ho, lads. Right. Load me up.
Let's do it again. Same as before.
You see sweat dripping from the brow of Guru Tapik as he actually flies himself over to the other side and gets ready to like airbend pull Guo a little bit closer if it looks like he's not quite going to make it.
But doesn't believe in us.
Well, he's just being cautious. Things can go wrong. But whatever the case, like I said, you don't have to roll again. You have successfully proven that you can do this. So you guys
Sick.
Jump down alongside Guo, all timing it just right, just like you did with the rock. Guo, you feel yourself hit the balloon, and then you suddenly feel the rush of air as you get shot across the entire cavern. Your heart rises in your chest as well as your stomach, kind of like when you go down a roller coaster.
Kind of like when you got shot out of the cannon at the circus.
He's got practice.
And
you've got, yeah, I was going to say you have the perfect form to like shoot through at like a bullet speed. You actually make it further than a rock does. And Guru Tapik is on the other side, and he actually pulls the air around you to keep you from slamming into the wall just because you were better than expected. But sure Whoa. Enough, you make it to the other side.
Is that what you yell while flying?
Yeah. Yell my name.
Awesome. And then, obviously, since you were able to get him across, you could also get Mika across if she's down for that.
Doubtful.
How else you plan on getting across?
Hop on.
Guo was fine. Look, there he is. Say, I wave at Guo, who's across from us.
Hey guys, I made it.
Yeah, see, he's totally fine.
I'm gonna try to make a bridge from this side.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, but that's way less fun.
No, it's a safety bridge.
It's for us too, Brock.
Oh, well, like...
Because once we watch Mika, we're just stuck with her.
We can't...
Yeah, you are.
Hop on. It's fine.
Look, Guo's fine.
Yeah, see, Guo's fine.
Look, the air guy caught him.
Yeah. I tell you what, I can... So since I could, like,
scale things, I may have to roll again for this, but could I sit on the balloon and then earthbend a rock?
To come down?
To come down and launch me?
Right now?
I mean, hypothetically, could I do that?
Yeah.
So, like, we wouldn't necessarily...
Well, you would jump at the same time, right? Because you had tried it with the rock sitting on it. It was the double bounce that really kind of helped you guys. So you could have the rock fall at the same time that Bill jumps, and that gives it, like, an excess weight, which helps launch you a little bit further. I think that's how science works. I could be wrong.
What if I had the added weight of myself and Bill fall from the top while I'm just sitting there, so that way the double bounce just kind of shoots
well,
me out.
Well, doesn't the double bounce itself create additional...
I thought it was just the extra weight, because the more weight that falls on one side,
sure,
the larger the output of force. That's at least what I learned at summer camp.
You know what? I would say that because you're able to get a better angle on the balloon, I'd say sure.
Sick.
Okay.
So we wouldn't necessarily... I'm just thinking that so we wouldn't necessarily be trapped here if right. I were to launch... Once I launch Mika, and then once I launch Bill.
Right, right, right.
I didn't even agree to this.
Well, you're going to be stuck on this side if you don't do it.
Snooze, you lose. Bill, hop up. Let's do this.
Okay.
All right.
Don't you need me to help you launch?
No. I'm going to make a rock that's roughly, like, even a little heavier than you.
Okay.
And I'm going to jump with this rock, and we're going to launch you.
You know, this isn't the first time I've been launched across a cavern with you, Brock.
Last time
I almost died.
Yeah, but you know, this time's different. Second time's gonna be better.
There's a professional airbender on the other side. I feel a lot safer this time.
Isn't he on our side?
No, he's on the other side. He flew across. No. He's right over there. Don't you see him?
I mean, I got a 9 again.
He's waving. See? Hi, guru.
He waves back.
See? There he is.
All right. Well, Bill, let's do this. So
I'm not going anywhere quick. Well, I actually
will
be.
You actually are coming.
You're going to go very quick.
I will be. Yeah.
All right. So you get launched across the cavern.
All right.
Casually.
Oh,
launched.
Casually.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Taking your
time. This is a lot nicer than last time I flew across the cavern.
Quite lovely.
Where I was in pure panic mode.
And Guru Tepeek uses his airbending to kind of soften your landing a little bit.
All right. Last chance, Mika.
See? Mika.
Train's leaving.
I made it. And I'm a lot heavier than you.
Train's leaving.
Fine.
So all right.
All right. All right. Oh, Mika sick, also wing gets launched across the cavern to the other side. Guo, were you making a bridge? Is that what you said?
I'm trying to make like an outcropping that slanted a little bit to help with the landing.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I would say as an earthbender with a little bit of time, I won't even make you roll. It just makes sense that you kind of shape this, I mean, it's mountain. It's literally just rock all around you. Plenty of earth to work with. So yeah, you shape this. And maybe even in the wall, kind of where everybody's kind of been landing up until now, so that they can kind of slowly roll into it a little bit softer.
Yeah.
And then, all right. So this time I will have you roll. So you're launching yourself. So
yep.
I will say that if you want to make it, I know you rolled, but I'm just saying if you want to make it a rely on your skills and training, since you've done this like 3 times now, totally up to you.
I'm rolling.
It'll just be
focus,
a different stat.
So passion would be better.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's totally fine.
Well, I rolled a 9.
Okay.
A 9. So it's either a 9 or an 11. It'd be 11. An 11.
Oh, well, yeah. If it's an 11, then it just succeeds. So sure enough, your expert skills that we have canonically established of being able to weigh a rock just by feeling it.
I knew that would come in handy.
Yes, it was. Very well done coming up with basically a superpower for you.
it's really obscure, though, if you think
it's
about
so
it.
It's so obscure. This is like one the exact situation.
Like if we were to, it's either this or like when it's like the guess the weight of the pig.
I was going
to
say, yeah, like at the carnival.
Yeah.
Like, guess what takes you guys to the carnival.
Poundies
guess
weight.
All 50 poundies weight.
Get this guy out of here. He's a witch. Fantastic. Well, you successfully make it to the other side. Easy peasy. And everybody's there. And you guys follow Tepeek to the next challenge, next trial, whatever you want to call it. All right. The fourth trial. So after crossing the divide and arriving on the other side, you all find yourselves coming down kind of a long tunnel, and you start to feel a breeze blowing through this tunnel leading to the next trial. And the deeper that you go, the more intense the winds start to slam into you until the tunnel finally opens up into a room with a nice like carved staircase at the end of it. But the wind is shooting down the staircase, and it is so incredibly intense to the point where it's keeping you from even moving forward. You're doing everything in your power not to be knocked back. Your goal is to figure a way to get up the stairs and into the tunnel, which kind of curves off to the side of where the wind seems to be stemming from. And Guru Tepeek, amidst all the wind, he shouts out,
"You know, it's not always like this. This isn't even one of the trials you guys just picked a windy day to stop by. If you want to wait a day or two for this wind to subside, you're more than welcome to. But I have a feeling you don't have the kind of time, unfortunately."
Indeed we are! Yeah. All
right, we will go forward with the idea that everybody is shouting over the wind without us having to shout. What'd you say?
I couldn't hear you. Could he repeat everything you said?
Can I just, like, freeze the air?
Freeze the air.
I don't know. We live in an area where the wind hurts your face.
That's
so
true. So you're just like, I want to cause pain to my friends.
Ouch!
I would say that the constant movement of air would probably dry out the air a lot more, so there's not as much moisture even to work with right now.
Where is the air coming from?
So at the top of the stairs, there's the main tunnel that kind of goes off to the left, and then there's just kind of like one singular opening, and that seems to be where the wind is like coming down into, it's hitting this tunnel,
so like,
and then following it down through this.
So one of our earthbender bros can just...
We plug it up?
Yeah.
Might be able to.
How far away is it?
It's maybe like 10 to 15 feet away.
Just roll a stone in front of it.
Child's play.
All right.
Child's play.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
All right. So if it's like 10, 15 feet away, what kind of earth is around us right now that I could use to plug this up?
Well, it's inside this mountain.
So it's like all
it's
earth.
Stone. Yeah.
Okay. So could I?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to roll to... just rip out a hunk of stone and just whack it over into this hole and plug it up in an attempt to stop this wind.
Oh, okay. That one's definitely rely on your skills and training. So
that's with focus.
Yep.
Okay. Six.
Six. Oh, man, that is a fail. Okay, so you go to punch this chunk of rock towards this opening and hopefully seal it up. And instead, you punch it, it goes, you feel like you punched it with all your might possible. It goes a couple of feet, and then it just kind of seems to stand still in the air for half a second before whoosh, being launched back at you guys, and you narrowly dodge out of the way.
Well, that's about all I can do. Anyone else got ideas?
What are these stairs made out of?
Whoa, Ulster. Bro. Your turn.
Is there any handholds in the stairs? Like, are they roughly made, or are they made with...
They're made... pretty, like, nicely, honestly. They're pretty smooth.
Are they smooth?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, you guys aren't even quite at... Like, there's maybe, like, a 5-foot section before you get to the stairs, and then the stairs go up probably another 5 feet, and then that's where the tunnel kind of breaks away from where the wind is coming from.
Stairs are smooth as Guo's cheeks.
Good to know. Interesting character fact. You did the same thing last episode, too, where you said something interesting about Guo in the episode, and we're like, oh, man, Dave, you're just wasting your character bags.
Guo, seeing that there are no hand or footholds, is going to try to make some.
Okay.
As he goes. He's going to try to, like, make an indent in the stairs to, like, a toehold.
Okay.
And then just on one side of the stairs, kind of, and then make handholds on the side, on the wall.
Oh, okay, to kind of like pull on and so on?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, go for it. Do do rely on your skills and training as well.
I got an 8.
An 8, okay. So you do it imperfectly. So you start to make your way up. You are sort of, with earthbending powers, jamming your hands into the wall. And as you start going, the wind becomes, you know, slightly more and more intense, and you start to feel your legs being kind of lifted off the ground. You could keep going, but you might have a chance that you might get thrown backwards. I'm gonna have a push your luck after this, and if you fail, I would say if you succeed, like if you get a 10 plus, if you get a full success, you'll make it. If you get anything less than that, you take a fatigue, and it's just a difference between whether you barely make it or not.
Hey everyone, Skylar here. Are you a fan of Session Zero Heroes and the shows we produce or the characters involved? Then you should check out our epic merch we have available online. From shirts to stickers and everything in between, we worked hard on creating a variety of designs and made sure to get your favorite characters on those products as well. Whether you're looking for Brock Lee on a hoodie to wear to the gym with you, or maybe Fizzlefinger's tote bag to stuff your ill-gotten gains in, we've got you covered. Just head over to our website at sessionzeroheroes.com and click on our merch tab to see all the amazing products and designs that you can get. Now back to the show.
So if you get the 7 to 9, you'll make it, but you take a fatigue. If you get anything less, you get thrown backwards and you take a fatigue.
Guo's starting to be bullied by this wind a little bit. He looks back at Bill, just like, kind of for some reassurance.
Bill goes, Guo, you seem to be losing your foot in there. And he just kind of...
What is that voice?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that voice
is. That's my pirate
voice. My barn into me scurvy. Oh,
it's from yelling over the wind.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to yell, but also talk.
Yeah.
Let me help you out there. Guo, and Bill's gonna grab what's in the air. His feet are in the air.
Yeah, he's starting to kind of.
Bill's gonna grab his feet and just start shoving him forwards.
So you're gonna do help?
Yeah, I'm helping him by just basically stabilizing his feet and like pushing them back down so like he can be stable.
Oh, he's just putting him back on the ground. So you like
I'm literally just shoving him back into the ground.
Okay, all right, sounds good. So now you've got your feet back basically on the ground, so you'll get a plus one on this one.
11.
Okay. So thanks to Bill putting your feet back on the ground, you start to press in, and the stone itself kind of moves up behind your feet, giving you kind of like little sections that you can hold on to. And eventually you make it all the way to the end, creating some holes in the wall and some sort of footholds that someone might be able to use behind you. Who is next?
Oh, I'll follow him.
Okay.
He's already there.
Yeah, I was already there, so I'm just going to...
You're just following after.
Yeah, I'm following him. And,
give me your stick.
Yeah, sure.
I reach around the corner holding out my
hand. I like push it up past him, like under his arm, so you can just grab it while going. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I try to hang on to the stick and help you.
Oh, yeah. And I come up, and he's a wind blocker right now.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to get up right now. So while he's climbing up, I'm basically like putting my shoulder into him. And I'm like shoving him forward because I won't have as much resistance as long as I'm directly behind him.
Yeah.
And rather I'm shoving him.
He's a shorty and you're not.
I can hold him up in front of me. I don't. As long as he's holding on to stuff, he's just, I'm imagining him like moving his hands forward and like forming the wall around it to like create like a wall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's basically like rock climbing.
He's creating a rock climbing walls. And as he's going, I'm basically shoving him up into the next spot so that he can grab further ahead.
Nice. I like it. Okay, so I'm going to basically consider you prepared because Guo essentially prepared you with the grab holds and so on and so forth. So you get plus one to an appropriate roll, and you can do that after the roll. It also allows you to avoid marking a condition. I don't think that's applicable. Sometimes that applies to like in combat situations.
But... So do I have to roll or?
Yeah, do a, let's do a push your luck.
Push my luck? Okay. Nine.
Okay. I'm going to give it to you, but because you're not an earthbender and you can't shape it, I'm going to say you take a fatigue.
in the process of getting to the other side, just because it takes a lot more exertion in the process.
Okay. Yeah, because you're getting up there in fatigues, bud.
Yeah. It's whatever.
All right. Sounds good. Who's next between the last two of you?
So what is Guo's and Bill's current situation right now?
So they've basically gotten up the stairs and everything. They're basically past where the wind is kind of shooting down.
You just follow us.
I mean, yeah, can I just follow them? Wouldn't it be better served if I was in front of them? Because I'm like a larger, stronger individual.
Hey, they already made it past. You were punching rocks and Guo was making... rock climbing.
Yeah, so like I might as well do the same thing Guo did.
All right.
Mika, do you just want to like Yoda this situation and just like
right on his bed?
Like, yes. I would imagine if Guo could do it, Brock should be able to do it because he's heavier.
Okay.
And he's, I would imagine.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that fits well with pushing your luck since you're usually stronger anyways, and the sort of pathway has already been made for you. But this is adding one extra challenge that I would say pushes you to that point where it's a little bit less, slightly less likely that you might make it.
All right, so successfully. I'm rolling with push my luck.
Yes, sir.
That's with focus.
Yes, sir.
Seven.
Okay, so I'm going to say the same thing as what Bill went through. So between Mika on your back and you trying to get, you start to kind of feel a little bit tired by the end of the process, and you do make it to the other side with Mika. Barely holding on. I like to think that she was like wrapped around your neck and her feet were like flying back in the air as she was just holding on for dear life. But sure enough, you guys make it to the other side safely.
Sick.
A little bit tired though.
Do I got to mark a fatigue?
Yes, please.
Worth it.
To be able to Luke Skywalker a Yoda.
I wouldn't know how Mika would make it up otherwise. I was just...
Yeah, that's fair enough.
How did... the guru get up?
Oh yeah, so what he does is he places his hands together, he points them ahead of him, and then he pulls his palms out ever so slightly to create kind of like this triangle shape, and he just walks right through.
Why didn't we just ask him to do that in the first place? We could have just followed him.
Oh, so the way that the air, you can't see it, it's not like in the cartoon where they obviously visualize it so that you can see it. But if you could see it, the air sort of like goes around him in like a perfect curvature from where he's kind of got this point that he's created. There is some airbending to it, obviously, of him manipulating the wind to basically go around him.
Mm.
He's like a boat in the water.
Yeah, like a boat in the water, which is funny that you say that, because as you guys walk into the next room, you see... instead of a giant cavern that just drops down into darkness or lava, instead you see a wide cavern filled with water. And you can see in the distance, there's an opening. You can kind of see some light of day out on that end, and the water seems to kind of drift through. But ahead of you, you can kind of hear like a waterfall or something probably at the end of it where it kind of runs out of the mountain. But whatever the case, ahead of you, across the water, which is quite a ways, it's like 100 feet of water, you see an opening for the next door. And this is the final trial. This is something that he points out. But he says,
I'm sure you can guess that an airbender would have an easy time putting some air in that sail, making it across the waters.
And he points over and there's like a little kind of boat or raft or whatever you want to call it with a little sail on it.
But none of you are airbenders. So that really sucks for you guys. Anyways, good luck.
And something
just like literally use a wave to push us across the lake in the boat?
Sure, you might be able to.
Yeah, or could Brock just drop a giant rock behind us and create more waves?
I just wanted to see.
It seems like an easy solution.
Again, I just make this stuff and then I'm like, I don't know, whatever they come up with.
Well, I'm just saying to Mr.
Oh, you're Guru. Talking to him. Okay, so okay. Play the scene with me.
Well, can I just, like, make a giant wave to just push us across? It seems easy enough.
Oh, yes. I completely forgot. So remember how when you first arrived and you asked if this place was haunted? And at first I said no, but then I mentioned there was a flesh-eating spirit that we'd eventually get around to.
Yeah,
that... Sure, yeah.
The ghost?
Yeah, I definitely slept super well last night thinking of that.
So this is where that spirit resides. The spirit takes form of a massive eel named Monu, cursed to be forever hungry. But to be fair, all of this is simply legend.
Hey, whatever. I've walked in the spirit world before.
Really?
Yeah. Welcome to my world, Mr.
That's,
Eel.
That's where I found my fox pup.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't noticed him until just now.
Yeah, he's been hiding in my skirt. You know, the wind and cold air and lava is kind of scary for a little dog.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you lived here, Mr. Guru?
Many, many years.
And you have never once seen this legendary eel monster?
I have always just floated over the water. So no, I've never seen the alleged eel spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the interesting thing about eels is they can sense movement within the water, just part of how they hunt their prey.
So you're saying don't create a giant wave.
So, yeah. Mr. Guru, could you help us with this boat and push the sails?
He literally said he cannot help us with the trials, Brock. Where are your ears?
I don't know.
Your friend is right. I'm not really supposed to help.
I'm thinking about mud right now.
They're probably packed full of dirt.
Probably. See?
I mean, he hasn't... What day of the week is it?
I don't even know, man.
Wednesday?
Is it?
It's on the fourth day. Been a while since his shower.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah. So it's if you guys had the funeral on Sunday, then it would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, about Thursday.
So even if we get in this boat and don't make waves, the movement of the boat's still going to ripple the water.
Yeah, but so would his air filling the sails pushing the water.
But I'm just saying, like, regardless if this eel guy shows up.
You could just punch him.
I mean, yeah, but like...
How far do we gotta go? It's like 100 feet.
Is there an air-filled balloon nearby?
Yeah, good luck getting that balloon all the way up through up here.
Yeah,
the wind room.
What Brock. About a trebuchet?
A trebuchet.
Well, we can't fill the sail with wind, so Brock, it's obvious you need to fill it with rocks. Just throw some rocks at the
Absolutely
sail.
Do not do that. Like,
come on, I want to see him do it.
That's a
you
brilliant
want him to break
idea.
The sail?
That's funny.
What if?
What? It's not like
hey,
you can
hey
use
guys.
It anyways.
Hey guys, I need to converse with my fellow brethren about my sad feelings about Mr. Okuron.
What?
What?
What? Are you just saying you need
I need a moment alone with the guys.
Just us?
Mr.
Oh yes, of course.
And he walks, he just goes back to the wind tunnel, I guess.
Okay, guys.
That was a weird way of saying...
Are we kidnapping the guru and forcing him to eat?
Why do you want that plan to
Because
happen?
It's easy.
This is the third room now. We just need to trick him into using his wind powers.
How would we trick him to do that?
Air powers.
He's lazy.
What if?
He's not lazy.
He's only used his powers.
He's only asking us. We just need to figure out a way.
I could wave my stick really fast back and forth.
Wait, time out. He always has a way of saving us, yeah?
Yeah.
So, one of you guys can just use your, you know, dumb plans and then...
Hey, Brock,
dumb plans?
Brock, how about you go swimming?
Do not.
No,
do
but what I can do, I can make a catapult. I can make a... Like what I used to launch the hot leaf juice.
I was going to be like, oh, way to use trial number 3 to get through trial number 5.
Dude, how do you know so much about engineering weaponry?
Well, funny thing.
He's like Sokka. Sokka, but like good at fighting. Well, you struggled a little bit.
I think that was more of a dig at my year in engineering school.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't, but yeah, that's funny.
I could have been an engineer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want me building your bridges. Can we build a bridge? Can we just do that?
Try this again. 100-foot bridge. Can you do that?
Can you do that?
You struggled to make a 2-foot bridge.
You struggled to make any element.
I can make wind with my stick.
How about I just make little waves in the water and see how much water... needs to affect the eel spirit.
I could just like skip rocks and do the same thing.
I could slap the water as hard as I can with my stick.
If I want to waterbend the sailboat to get us to the other side, that just seems most easiest instead of just like purposefully disturbing the water.
What if we got in the boat and then you did a giant wave to push us across, but while we were doing that, on the opposite side of the river, lake, whatever, we just started dropping a bunch of rocks. And so the eel would go over there.
He doesn't know where to go.
Yeah.
Like a dune situation.
But what if that backfires and he still comes towards us?
Guo hops into the boat and starts looking for a hat.
There's like one of them little like airbender, almost like, I don't want to say yarmulkes, almost. Like a kind fez? Of similar. Yeah, kind of a fez. Somewhere between it's like a short fez.
A little cap.
Yeah,
wait, so are we not going to try and trick Mr. Uru?
Guru?
Guru?
I mean, that could be a plan B. I think we go with my genius plan.
Which one? The kidnapping?
I'm a hardcore.
Well, so we can call kidnapping plan C.
Oh, okay. Plan C. Got it.
I don't know. What are y'all's thoughts?
I think let's just waterbend.
I think Guo's got a sick hat on right now.
I'm sorry. I will only be addressed as Captain Guo.
This again, huh?
Hey, there's a boat. Every boat needs a captain.
And so,
I've got the hat.
He's got the hat.
But if the ship goes down, so does Guo.
I'm not listening to you, Brock. You're not the captain. Sorry.
Mr. Captain, whose plan do you want to go with?
Yeah, which plan do you want to go with?
Oh, Captain, my captain.
I like
this. So many options.
Yeah, a lot of good options.
What do you mean, tell you the options?
Some are way better than others.
I said so many options.
The one bad option is the kidnapping.
Nah, that's a great option.
You moved it to sea. It's not that good.
I think Mika just needs to try to push us along with her waves.
Yeah. And then you guys drop rocks.
Works for me.
Yeah, if we notice any.
I'm going to start
commotion.
Out with slow, low waves. And if Mr.
We should probably get the guru back in here before we leave.
If he shows
nah, he'll be fine.
Spirity head. I'll go fast, strong waves.
Okay.
I hop in the boat.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll hop in the boat too.
All hands on deck.
Okay,
Mr. Guru.
And all of a sudden, Mr.
Guru to peek.
He peeks around the corner and he just gives you guys like a thumbs up. Like, are you guys done?
I'm going to wipe my eyes a little bit. You know, it's just really still the part of me talking about my feelings.
And he comes walking out real confident, and he just says,
"Well, I sure hope you guys don't wake that spirit. I'm pretty sure I don't stand a chance against a spirit monster."
That's not foreshadowing anything at all, Mr. Tuffy.
That you do.
I wonder what's going to happen.
All right, so you guys are all in the boat. All hands are on deck. Captain Guo, I assume, takes the front.
Yeah.
The bow, mast, bow, whatever it is.
Bow.
Bow of the ship. All right, perfect. And Mika begins to make some soft waves. Mika, I'm going to have
Without the thumb clicking.
Without the freaky double-jointed thumb clicking.
Eel calling thumb clicking.
That only happens with my secret move.
Oh, her secret move. All right, perfect. So I'm going to have you do rely on your skills and training, since this is something that you are obviously pretty well adept to. It's moving water, really.
Well, I got a 5, right. So it's your good
vibe. Do you want to turn it into excess at the cost of a fatigue?
Absolutely,
a soft success, I believe. Okay, so here's what I'll give you.
Reroll, thanks.
I won't give you a reroll, but I'll make it a soft success by saying that you could take the fatigue and add your balance, add your principle, which is what right now?
Survival,
okay, yep, that fits. And then because your friends are all kind of taking position in the boat and they're kind of maintaining a balance as far as the boat goes, I'll consider that prepared. Everybody is prepared, and so that would be a +1. That would make it a soft success. So with a rely on your skills and training, on a 7-9, you do it imperfectly. Okay. So
I hate this.
You can you can accept the consequences, or you can mark the fatigue to not accept the consequences. But essentially, you're pulling, and maybe the fear is kind of welling up inside of you, kind of the nervousness of the situation, the intensity of the possibility. You've seen spirits. You yourself are pretty much one of the only ones in the group. Actually, Guo has seen them. But aside from Guo, you're the only one that's seen a spirit in real life, and you know how powerful or kind of unexpected they can be. And so you're pretty nervous, pretty scared as you start to pull this water, and that fear causes you to go a little bit more intense than you'd want to, and the waves start to kick up a little bit harder as you move the boat a little faster, but you know that you're kicking up more water than what you'd like to. So you can do that, or you can cut the water. Like, just kind of pull away from the whole thing and be like, whoa, it's too much. What direction would you like to go?
Well, what happens when I get to all fatigues? Well, I would only be at 4. I'm not at 5 fatigue. I just want to know if I want to risk the extra fatigue or not.
Right.
Would it be wise?
Basically, once you have 5 fatigue, that's fine. But if the game ever tells you that you can either mark fatigue or take something else, you have to take something else, which would be conditions.
Oh, the...
And then once you've filled out all those statuses, then you're knocked out.
I guess I'll just stop.
Okay, so you stop. And the boat comes to a stop as well. You guys are kind of... Let's say you guys got to about maybe 25 or so feet, and there's no wind, there's no nothing, there's no movement in the water at this point. Once you stop pulling the water, everything is just still as you guys sit there in the boat. Creaks ever so slightly as you guys look into sort of the greenish haze water below you. Nothing has appeared, but you guys are currently amidst the doldrum that is this lake in the middle of a giant cave.
Are there any paddles on this boat?
Paddles?
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Okay. What? I grab a paddle.
Okay.
Yeah. Get paddling.
Okay. You just stick it in the water. If one person paddles,
yeah,
it doesn't
do
much.
Yeah, doesn't do nothing. Well, you're just disturbing the water for no reason.
I paddle on my side.
Okay.
I'll paddle, I guess.
And I run to the other side, and I paddle on that side.
Okay.
I run back to the other side, paddle on that side.
Well, and then Mika picks up a paddle, and then she takes over one side.
You just smack it with a paddle.
Like, I got this. Dude. I got this covered. And then you guys start to... Are you slowly paddling?
I'm just paddling.
Just paddling at a fairly
like an average pace.
Well,
yeah.
We're in the water.
Okay.
We're not going anywhere quick.
How far did we make it?
You guys are about 20, 25 feet. And then they
pick
up paddles.
I'm really good with a stick. And the paddle's like a flat stick.
Okay.
So I paddle.
Yeah, okay.
You ain't wrong.
You guys start to push forward ever so slightly. It's slow progress for sure. And every time you stick the paddle into the water, are you being cautious is my question. Or
sure.
Are you just kind of slapping it in there like you want?
Nah, absolutely not.
I'm not racing
so
anyone.
You dip it into the water, and you slowly push.
We know the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be maniacs.
I just
want to
double
boat.
Check. Some people are like, yeah, just give me a dang oar.
Yeah, let's just kidnap him, you know?
It's a great idea.
And over the next probably 10, 15 minutes, you guys finally reach the other side. And waiting there for you is Guru Tapik, and he says,
well, patience is a virtue.
Cool. Hop out.
Thanks for the help, bud.
And virtue leads to reward.
Hey, Guo, so, you know once we leave the ship.
Oh, Guo was taking a nap up in the balcony. Oh, are we there? Good
a
work,
nice
crew.
15-minute nap.
Captain, my captain.
That's one of those power naps that people say are really good to kind of get you going again.
Yes. Guo set his internal nap clock. Well, actually, didn't know how long to set it for. So he was asleep until we hit the other shore.
Sure. You keep the hat.
Or do you leave the Captain Guo days behind with the ship?
No, I mean, he would keep the cap.
Heck yeah.
It's become, you know... One
I'm not
with
quite
his head.
Sure what
he
it
forgot
looks
it
like
was
now.
There.
Wait, it's kind of like I said, just kind of like a shorter fez.
Like a Shriner's
fez? Kind of, yeah. So it's just a shorter version.
Like what Abu wears? Abu? And Aladdin?
Abu?
Wears like
yeah, kind of. I mean,
like
that's pretty much a fez.
He wears like a
but...
mini fez on the back of his head.
But for him,
compared
it's
to his
smaller.
Head. But compared to his head, it's still like mini.
Well, so it's like the same width or diameter or whatever.
It's just
short.
Not as tall.
Yeah. Oh.
And it kind of like, there's a little bit excess fabric that kind of helps hold it onto your head.
I've actually always been curious about that. Like, how do they stay on there? Unless you have like a little...
Years of practice.
I guess so. It's quite a balancing act. But whatever the case, yeah, you guys are on the other side, and Guru Tapik leads you to the final room. And it's sort of like an ornate door, kind of like you see in Avatar The Last Airbender, where, you know, he has to like blow into, you know, airbend into some of the like different like tubes and stuff. And then once he is able to get all the tubes and the air is running through, the door starts to open. And as it does, you guys look inside this room. And it's a big, wide open chamber. There's some pedestals that kind of stick out from the ground. On each of the pedestals, there's different items, most of which are relics of the Air Nation and the Air Nomads, that, you know, special items. Leaning against one of them is one of those air gliders. There's some other obscure items. And in the center, around the middle pedestal, is Madame Yang.
And
four Hot Leaf Juice employees.
And this is where episode 4 ends.
Hey everyone, Skylar the Game Master for Benders and Brews and the Creative Director over at Session Zero Heroes here. I just wanted to give you a quick outro before you head over to the next episode or call it a day. Firstly, thank you so much for listening to our show. It means so much to us to have such amazing people like yourself that enjoy the content that we produce. Without you, there really wouldn't be much point in all the work that we put into recording, editing, and sharing our TTRPG sessions with all of you. With that being said, we would love it if you would throw some love our way and drop us a review or a rating or whatever it is called wherever you're listening to the show, based on whatever platform that allows you to leave reviews and leave recommendations. It means a lot to us to get to hear why you love the show we make, and it also helps the show reach other listeners as well, allowing us to grow our community. So, if you're feeling especially generous, you could even go as far as to share our show to your friends and family who also enjoy TTRPG Actual Play podcasts. It's really expensive for us to be able to advertise, and we don't do much of it, so it's a lot more help to have you guys share it with people that you know will enjoy it, and then they can join in the community that we're creating. That would make you a Session Zero hero yourself. And additionally, we'd love to have you stop by on one of our various social platforms and interact with the channel there. You can find Session Zero Heroes on Facebook, X, Instagram, and Discord. We post all sorts of updates, clips, and even the occasional behind-the-scenes look at what we're up to. And if you're ever looking for information on SZH, or you don't use a podcast streaming site but you want to listen to our shows, you can do so by checking out our website at sessionzeroheroes.com. And while you're there, you can find out about the cast and the crew that make our show and provide the players' voices in all of our various series. And if you're feeling especially cheeky, you can check out our merch store, where we have a ton of designs and products to choose from, all of which help us pay the bills and keep the lights on. So once again, thank you all so much for listening, and remember to stay curious, stay heroic, until we roll again.